We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
This is the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider from Learfield IMG College. Now, here is your host, the voice of the Cowboys, Dave Hunziker.
Time to gather again. It's been a while. Seems like forever, actually. Jim Knowles said earlier this week, feels like a season opener. Sort of does. It's so strange, guys. Dave Hunziker, Robert Allen, Deion Amati. To think we haven't played in 3 weeks, it almost feels like 3 months. So strange.
No.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's one of those situations where I was on the weekend trying to figure out, like, I'm supposed to be doing something on Saturdays. I can't put my finger on it. Then I turn on the TV. Oh, yeah, it's college football season. I probably should be in Stillwater. Oh, wait, there's no game.
Nah, and you know what? It's terrible, but I'm still mad at Baylor. I'm serious. I'm mad at him. And I know that we're supposed to be more understanding in this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, but I'm still frustrated they didn't play. And when they had a pep rally last Friday, that made me even more frustrated. But I think we're seeing guys, and this we could start here maybe with the game on Saturday. We're not only seeing the two teams I think right now are the best teams in the Big 12, but I think we might be seeing the two teams that have handled COVID-19 the best in the Big 12.
Very well could be. How concerned are you guys about rust, Deion?
That's one of the questions that's on the top of my mind, because that's one of the things that I'm always, you know, teetering on. Do you want your players rested, or do you want them – you know, to get a steady dose of practice and games and have a good, because athletes are creatures of habit. That's just what we are. They find a routine to put us in. We stick to those routines and we create, you know, positive things because of those routines and what we're used to seeing. With this situation that we're in now, where things are, you know, popping up and there's adversity and things you have to just account for. Luckily enough, we have a very veteran, experienced team that, you know, are mature and they can handle these kinds of situations. But I am a little concerned about the rust and one position in particular. But I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along.
Robert?
I'm curious, what position?
Oh, the quarterback position. I think it's a given. It's a given. Okay, there's more, okay, yeah, there's more sure. rust on that. There's a more rust on that wheel than the rest of them.
And I'm sure we'll, yeah, we'll work our way around back to that. You know, hey, total transparency. I go to practice. Okay. Total transparency. And I use one phase of practice. And I know it doesn't include everybody on the team, but I use one phase of practice to tell me whether a team is rusty. Okay.
Can we all guess? Can we all guess?
Sure, you can guess.
Let me go inside hole.
You inside drill. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm watching inside drill. And if I see guys that don't want to stick their head in there, because I mean, I know they don't tackle, but defenders still stick their head in there. And honestly, a lot of times guys go down because, you know, it's a big physical drill. I've used that the last couple of weeks, and I think this team is sharp. Their intensity is there. And so I feel pretty good, you know, based on inside drill, which is probably the most physical thing they do at practice. I feel pretty good.
You know, it's interesting. The Tulsa situation was somewhat similar to the Baylor situation, albeit it was a season opener, so it was different in that respect. And guys were pretty fiery going into that Tulsa game, but the reality is they weren't very sharp. Now, injuries played a big role in that. The two lost starters on the offensive line, Spencer Sanders going down, but even before that, they weren't necessarily terribly sharp. But perhaps they've taken a lesson from that because they've been through that before. It was weird. It was a little funky getting started, and then they had the injuries that made it worse. So maybe you gain something from that experience because there's probably some similarities, and there appear to be similarities in the temperament of the team going into this game and going into the Tulsa game, for what it's worth, Robert.
Dion, shall we pick on Dave? Would you like to? Can we pick on Mr. Hunziker?
That'd be new. Let's do it.
He just said the team wasn't very sharp against Tulsa. I thought of phase of the team was extremely sharp
offensively.
Okay.
Right. Correction.
let's remember there is defense, and I thought they were razor sharp.
No, they were really good on defense, no doubt.
All right, that's
offensively.
And then if that's the case, then you put 1 + 1 = 2, then I think a lot of the struggles that you saw offensively was just because of the unusual circumstances, because of all the injuries that took place. It was just a lot to overcome in that specific, you know, scenario.
And Dion, this may be a good time to hit on where you're most concerned about rust, because I don't know that we can say in that Tulsa game, Dave and Dion, that Spencer Sanders was rusty. We didn't see enough of him to tell.
Right.
Honestly, that first series went like clockwork until he got hurt. But, I would like to think that the guys we were thinking about that were a little rusty in the backfield, you know, maybe the receivers, I don't know if they got a fair shake. I feel better about it. And let me say this. Let me throw this out. I think there is one position group on this team that the 3 weeks has really helped. And I think it's the offensive line. This has been like a whole new fall camp for Charlie Dickey, and where he's got those two young kids in Jake Springfield and Hunter Woodard in that offensive line. I think he has worked them really hard over this time to get that as a fine tuned offensive line. And I think he feels better about those guys going into this game.
And I mean, that's the part where rest comes in handy and it's an advantage, because those younger guys, those people that need some work and need some practice and need more experience, they get the work that they're needed. And then those veteran guys get to, you know, rest up and heal some of those aches and pains that they've gotten on these last couple of games.
Well, and let me throw this out for you guys too. I know Mike has told Coach Gundy has told Dave that he hasn't been satisfied with the conditioning. Rob Glass has had his opportunity to, you know, more than I've ever seen. They have run after practice. They have conditioned. So that's another product of 2020.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Very unusual.
Yeah, it's interesting. Coach Gundy, you know, made the comment, we were talking today, this being Thursday, You know, he doesn't know what to expect out of a three-week layoff. It's never been done before, so you have to kind of go with it and see what happens. One thing he did say during the pregame interview that did certainly catch my attention, and if you're worried about Spencer Sanders' rust, or rust on the defense for that matter, you'll want to note this. He said the game plans are simple. He said it's so easy when you have a long layoff to go the opposite direction and feel like, well, we've got time to put this in and we've got time to put that in and let's do this and let's do that. He told his staff, the coordinator specifically, I want the opposite. Keep it simple. And I think for Spencer Sanders, that's obviously the best thing. You haven't played in a while, so against an Iowa State defense, it can be a little tricky to navigate anyway, and you have to have patience. What's the best way to create patience? To me, it's simplicity, and that's probably the approach you're going to have, Dion.
Yeah, I would agree. So, I mean, you kind of, with a team like that, as much as you want to kind of dial up some exciting plays and be, you know, adventurous and trick them a little bit because they are so disciplined, sometimes you just have to go with your bread and butter and hit them between the tackles, go straight downhill, don't avoid it. Don't go like a team like Iowa State. You just have to say, hey, we're not going to trick these guys. I have to count on one-on-one individual battles.
Yes.
And with that being said, my athletes are better than your athletes. Let's get after it. And hopefully that's what we see on Saturday. But my question is, and that's something that was posed to me earlier today at the office, is how close is Spencer Sanders to 100%? Is that something that can we expect, or is it going to be a situation where, because all this rest that we've seen, and we haven't seen him since, you know, Tulsa, is he 100% now with, you know, Baylor being missed and the bye week? What are we going to expect from this guy?
100%. He's 100%. I mean, now 100% physically. But here's where we get back to Deion's rust, guys. You know, he's played one series and one play.
Yeah.
And the one play was a fumble handoff with Chuba. So as far as live action, you know, he hadn't seen much. And remember, he missed the end of last year. The Texas Bowl, missed the last two games for the Oklahoma and West Virginia. So as far as live, you know, seeing live defense out there, he hadn't seen a lot lately.
This is a really good year when you stop and think about it. Coach Gundy and I talked about this too. Every year is a good year to have a good defense. I mean, you always would like to have a great defense and a great offense. I mean, that's dumb. We all know that. But this year especially, to me, because of the starting and stopping of the season, the long breaks, which puts you almost into a mindset that almost every game when you come out of a 2 or 3 week break, it's almost like an opener. What do openers get decided by? Penalties, special teams, turnovers. What's the best way to avoid that? Rely on your defense to win the game. And it's a great, in this COVID, I don't know how you guys feel about that, but in this COVID circumstance, it is the best year to have a great defense because it's risk management. You don't have to take as many risks if you think your defense can win the game for you. Are you going to take some shots? Of course you are, but you don't have to do anything crazy. That's the way I see it. I think this is an awesome year to be good on defense and deep on defense. That, to me, that's the best way to combat the uniqueness of the COVID season. I don't know what you guys think, but that's something that's run through my mind, Robert.
No, I kind of think you're right there. And hey, defense never goes out of style.
No.
Defense is always in vogue. But I do like the fact that, and I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, because I think this game Saturday is, like I said, I think it's between the two best teams in the league right now. I think it could really give you a leg up toward everything you want to experience at the end of the line. But I love the fact that right around the corner is Texas. And as opposed to what Iowa State does, playing deep, keeping you from going, you know, for the home run ball, Texas is going to get a lot more aggressive and come after you. And that's going to allow next week the receivers and the quarterbacks and everybody involved in the passing game to get a little more crazy. But honestly, Dave's right, Deion. This game's going to be won by the team that runs the ball the best and the team that stops the run the best.
Hey, I just thought of this. I mean, defense is like having great insurance during tornado season. And with the Cyclones coming to town, I'm glad that we have a really good defense because we're going to need it. And it's exactly what you're saying, Robert. It's like the beginning of the season. And what Dave was saying, what wins games early in the season is your team has to be disciplined. You have to run the football. You have to play good defense. You have to be conditioned, and you have to stay away from these penalties. All five of those things are going to have to take place to get a win on Saturday.
And here's an X factor, guys. And Dave knows, when I do the scouting report anymore, I never mention special teams, which is sad. But I have this week looked at the special teams, and when you look at what Alex Hale's doing, and I'm knocking on wood, and you look at Tom Hutton, I mean, now Iowa State's got the number one punter in the league, but you look at Oklahoma State's special teams, they've, other than the kickoff return, and you can live with that because most of the time anymore, those are either fair caught or they're touchbacks. But other than that, you know, that area, Oklahoma State's been really good in special teams, and that's another thing that wins close games.
Well, and the reality is Iowa State's had its problems. I mean, even against Texas Tech, their last game, they had a short field goal, like a 20-yard field goal blocked and returned for a touchdown. Everybody says, well, what happened against Louisiana? Well, you give up a punt return and a kickoff return for a touchdown in the same game. You're not going to beat Stillwater Junior High when you do that. You can't beat anybody when you do that. You just can't. It's just catastrophic. Also, people may not realize Charlie Kohler didn't play in the opener. That's your All-American tight end. That's your dude. I mean, he is their dude, and he's going to be an NFL player, so we're going to watch this dude for a while. And the thing is, Iowa State historically has always started slowly. Last year, I'm sitting in the airport in Eugene, Oregon, and they had to fight for their dear life to beat Northern Iowa at home in the opener. No offense. But you talk about a team that's ranked at the top 25 at some point, and you're struggling with Northern Iowa at home in the opener, that's not usually how those teams behave. But Iowa State, even you go back other years, they historically have started slowly, and then they kind of pick up steam as they go along. So that Louisiana game, and who knows, they may have had some COVID hangover going as well. It was not typical of the Cyclones, but they have historically started slowly.
But they love to brag about being 12-1 in the month of October. So we're out of, I mean, but in 2020, are we still in the start, or are we really truly in October?
We there's no telling. Honestly, there's no telling. But to go back to that special thing thing, I wanted to add this before we get out of here. One of the things, especially with a ball game like this, where it's going to be played between the tackles and it's going to be, you know, disciplined football, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, field position is going to be important. And with special teams being something that we can hang our hat on, it's going to be very, you know, a big advantage for us if we can take control of that aspect of the game.
All right, last thing, guys. Let me toss this around. Most important thing you're watching Saturday, Robert. What are you watching?
Most important thing I'm watching Saturday is the offensive line and the improvement they've made with Charlie Dickey, because looking at what Iowa State does defensively, no disrespect to Mike Rose and the linebacker crew and Greg Iceworth and the secondary, I really think their defense this year is keyed by Jaquan Bailey, who's one of my favorite players in the league, Will McDonald, who comes in on pass rush downs, the big, I'll let Dave work on the pronunciation, the big nose tackle. They are a load up front. Even for a rush three, drop eight team, they are really a load. And I want to see, is if the offensive line can handle those guys, that'll go a long way toward running the football. It'll go a long way toward controlling the game.
Deion?
For me, I mean, it's a star-studded cast, and the team that's the headliner for this Iowa State team is their tight ends. And I've believed the fact that we have the safeties that we have, the safety types that we have, these big, you know, athletic, run-stopping safeties, we have the guys to play man-to-man with these tight ends. And I want to see that matchup, our three safeties against their three tight ends. That's going to be the key to the game, in my opinion. I'm a little biased because I'm a former safety, but this would have been a game that I would have loved to play in, because I was that, you know, Trey Sterling, you know, Kobe Harbell Pill type of safety. Those big guys that can play man-to-man with a tight end like Kolar. These guys, they're going to make their buck. over here on Saturday on this game?
I'm watching for patience on offense, particularly from Spencer Sanders. You know, when he is a high energy guy, and last year, as the year progressed, he became much better at sort of taking what the game gave to him. In other words, being patient, not taking risks, understanding that living for the next down was fine. That's okay. Those are lessons that all quarterbacks go through. Now he's not really played much, and you're going against a team that absolutely requires you to be patient. You'll hear that on the pregame show over and over from Casey Dunn, Coach Gundy, offensive players, everybody, same sheet of music. You have to be patient. Patience sometimes can be a little challenging when you haven't played in a while. And sometimes you may not even just trying to kind of get back into a flow, but also be patient knowing that, you know, that home run ball that you like to get that kind of gets you going when you haven't played in a while, it may not be available. So that's kind of what I'm watching, just to see not only just about how effective he is, but, you know, managing the uniqueness of this game with Iowa State, where patience is absolutely necessary when you haven't played in a while.
You know what? That's pretty astute on your part, Dave, because we'll get it. I'm going to save this for Saturday. A big chunk of what has happened in Spencer Sanders' life over the spring and summer and the new person that came into his life has been about exactly what you want to see out of him on Saturday. So we'll get into that some on Saturday in the pregame.
Sounds good. Wow. I feel like we haven't done anything in forever. So it's nice to get back together again. Hopefully it won't be 3 weeks.
I thought we were a little rusty. It took us a little while to get into rhythm, but we were much better at the end. But I think we had some rust.
Oh, I know.
Hopefully Cowboys don't on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, it's just so weird. It's like I told somebody the other day, it's like, wow, I think I'm enjoying these Saturdays with my wife way too much. We need to get back to work, or I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. It's like, wait a second, I'm not working, but I like being home. This is weird. I'm not used to this. And then at some point in time, it's like, well, I need to be doing a football game. So that, you know, it was part enjoy my wife, and then part of at some point in time said, okay, I need to go do a football game, but there was none. So there you go.
I did hear some of the chatter before the Jim Knowles Zoom, and the chatter was about how many times guys have been playing golf a week.
So stop.
I did hear that too.
yeah I didn't take out the chatter, I just sent it straight to you. So yeah, there was some of that too. So yeah, it's like, what the heck else, you know? Hey, I got all the honeydews done, or at least I got a hall pass, so what the heck. So now we're back to work, and that's good. We need to do what we do, so that's a wonderful thing. Thanks for watching, listening. We'll talk to you Saturday, 12:30. We'll start 2:30. We'll kick.
This has been the Oklahoma State Cowboy Insider. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.